You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Oh, my goodness. It's Osiris with 15 Minutes, the show. I don't know. When it comes to Mama Nature, I have nothing to say. It's nothing I can do to control her when she decides to raise up and rise up and spread her wings just to let everybody know that we are, in fact, not in charge. And when things like this happen, all I can think of is I just feel like I want to bow down, like whatever we are doing as a humanity that is causing such distress in our weather patterns, I want it to stop. And it's the way we treat each other. I mean, just, it's sad. And I don't know of any other way to, you know, that life could speak out for itself since it's silent. And we tend to not pay attention to things that are silent. We only see what we see physically in the physical world. But there's a whole nother silent world that speaks out. And it speaks out like things like this, like natural catastrophes, and everybody's like, oh, why? And I don't know why. I just don't question Mama Nature, and whatever she does and whatever she decides to do, I'm just thankful that are those people that were saved, people that for whatever reason, you know, they get to look at life in a different way, a different kind of perspective, perhaps. I don't know. But it's very sad, and unfortunately we've lost lives and things, and things can be replaced. People, not so much. So I'm extending my whole heart and self and soul into all of those families, that whole area. I'm sending nothing but peace, harmony, and love, and hopefully, and I'm sure that we can rebuild an even better area over there with much love, respect, and that kind of thing. Today, guess who I have? Before, let's announce our sponsor, Kevin Pike, Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist. Kevin Pike of Cold World Banker. Don't forget to hit him up. He's a good guy. Let me tell you, they don't make him like Kevin anymore. I mean, he takes real estate seriously. It's not just about making money and walking around saying, I'm a real estate person. He will walk with you, talk with you, laugh with you, cry with you. If you're old, he'll hold your hand while you find a new place to live in case you lost someone. You know, if you're young and you don't know what to do, he'll talk to you about that. Any phase of real estate, Kevin Pike of Coldwell Banker can handle it. He's our sponsor and we love him. 818-571-1508. Again, 818-571-1508. Another quick shout out to a local business, Stan's Tires, and William Carrillo of, he's a Hyundai AAA tour. They took care of me yesterday with all the fires and everything going on. My car decided to have a tire issue, and they saved me not only money, time, but they did a good job, and I love them, and thank you for being in our community. We need more people like you. Now, to my lovely, beautiful guest. This woman looks exactly as her photo. You know how some people, they doctor things up so their photo looks different when you meet them. She looks exactly like her photo. Gorgeous. She's like a little, I don't know, she's looked at herself a long time. I'm just meeting her for the first time. Her name, she's a award-winning filmmaker and advocate for health care and health wellness for anyone, but in her case, for senior citizens, people that are placed in facilities. Her mother was one of those people, and it sparked her to write about the experience of her mother being in a five-star nursing facility. And her name is Susie Singer Carter. Let's welcome her. She's amazing. Look at this woman. Beautiful. And I was like, wow, I felt like crying because not everybody is willing to talk about these stories. And for those out there that you're 20, 30, or may not think it might affect you, trust me. Anyone can end up in a facility where you have to be a caregiver. I think before we talked to Susie and she gets into it, I think it was Rosalind Carter who said there are four types of people, and I found this. There are the people that are caregivers, the people that were caregivers, the people that are caregivers, and the people who will need caregivers. And that is powerful. I can't say nothing else after that. Susie, mm-hmm. Take it away.
Hey, thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'm so moved by your reception to this project because it's been a difficult project, and it gives me a lot of wind in my sails because, you know, nobody wants to look at this kind of topic. It's a very difficult topic. It's not sexy. It's not pretty. It's not fun. And we all do a lot of la 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 la's. My mom and I did it. We did it. You know, we're not going to die. We're different.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to get old. We're going to just enjoy life, going on our way, having a peaceful time. You do you, we're doing us. But it happens. Mm-hmm. And it happens to everybody. God willing, everybody gets older. Unfortunately, our system is broken for taking care of the vulnerable and our elderly. And you don't know it until you know it.
Now, walk us back through how your mother ended up in this 5-star facility.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people out there, we think, I mean, no, I've thought it until I actually start interacting, being around people of wealth. They are very regular people like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they may not have been born into it, then it becomes a big deal. But for people that are actually wealthy, come from wealth, no big deal. It's like a regular life. A lot of people think that, or some may think that wealthy people don't have to experience setbacks, letdowns, fallouts, people doing them wrong, a system being against them, a system not treating them well, even though they're paying all this money. Let's talk about that.
So how do people end up is what you're
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, how do people end up in this facility and they got all this money and what?
Right.
What made you go in there and check it out?
Right. Well, here's the thing. Most people that have a progressive disease or, you know, a disease that will become, you know, overwhelming, right? So your acuities become overwhelming and you need full-time help. So whether you have MS or you have, Parkinson's
That's
or
right.
Alzheimer's or dementia, and which, yes, it's mostly older people, but like you said, there's a lot of people. We interviewed several people who are in their 40s and 50s who are full-time residents at facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, by the grace of God, go us all. And so how does it happen is that, you know, say my mother, as an example, who had Alzheimer's for 16 years. Alzheimer's can be a very long disease.
And it's progressive.
It's progressive. And you can start off very young with it. And then, you know, and it becomes an expensive disease because you increasingly need more help. And when it got to the point where the family couldn't help my mom with all the things she needed because we weren't trained, you know, and you can't fault any family for not being able to keep someone at home when their acuity becomes so overwhelming and that you're doing them a disservice often because you may not have the space. You may not be able to, if they're immobile, you may not have two people to lift them out of a chair. You may not, right? So they in theory, are better off and more healthy and more happy in a facility that is set up for that kind of help. The problem is that these facilities are not set up for that kind of help because they are underfunded. They're not underfunded. They're underfunded because there's people that are extracting money and funds that should be going to the facilities, to the caregivers, to the residents. But there's so much money to be made.
That in the sick and the dying and death,
mm-hmm.
There's the truth. There is so much money to be made in being sick.
That's
and
right.
Being dead.
Right.
I happened to work. I needed a job. This is why I love my life now that I made it through all these things. Well, I had to work for Inglewood Cemetery.
Mm.
I had no idea they were so happy in the morning. You go in there, it's 5:30 in the morning. They're like, hey, good morning. It's the morning, you know, we're going to make lots of money. There's no ceiling on death and dying.
Mm-hmm.
No ceiling whatsoever. There's no adjusted in pricing. It could be $15,000 this year a month, and next year it'd be like 50. And you, there's nothing. What are you going to do? You know,
right.
Susie, what are you going to do?
What can you do? Yeah. So what happens is people run out of money. They run out of their nest egg, and eventually people end up on Medicaid, and their Medicare, right?
Yeah.
So if you're on Medicaid, you are really at the mercy because you become a burden.
A number.
You become a burden because Medicaid pays the least. Medicare pays the most. Medicaid pays the least. So once you get to Medicaid, they can't bill as high as they want to off of you. And the business model of the investors who have pretty much...
Now back that up.
Yes.
You said they can't bill. Why can't they bill as much as they want to? What is the stipulation?
Well, CMS, which is the Center for Medicare and Medicaid, in California it's Medi-Cal, they have ceilings on each kind of bill. So if it's, you know, a therapy or a swallow assessment or it's physical therapy, whatever the case may be, there's only a certain, there's a cap that they can charge. And the day rate for someone living in a facility full-time with Medicaid is small. It can be between $150, $250 a day, which you think is not enough. But in essence, it really is enough. It's enough to take care of one person when you think about it, right? I see your wheels turning.
Let me ask you this question. So what's to keep them from padding it? What's to keep them from saying, okay, we have a cap on it, but we can bring in a swallow test, which may not even be necessary, or we can do this test that may not even be necessary just to get more money.
Right. There's nothing. And it works the other way, too. Like, my mother needed a swallow test, and she couldn't get one. I advocated every day for my mom to get a swallow test because they would rather put her on MPO, which is nothing by mouth, because it's easier on them not to have to, you know, put resources towards helping her to make sure she doesn't aspirate, which, by the way, she wasn't aspirating, which means you're choking. We all do it when you get a little water in the wrong pipe and you go, you know, and it can be dangerous. But for the most part, if you watch our documentary, you'll see all of the specialists say everybody aspirates. And it's the job of that facility to make sure you don't choke and make sure you have a quality of life. Having nothing by mouth is not a quality of life. So yes, so they'll either not call in a test because it's too expensive, or if someone is low acuity, meaning they don't have a lot of things wrong with them, they will order more tests and order more therapy so they can bill it, and even if the person doesn't need it. So you've got people that shouldn't be having therapy, and they're having therapy to their detriment. So they shouldn't be moved.
Yeah, they're forcing more on people than what's necessary.
Correct.
My dad happened to be a nurse, and he took my mother probably off of most of the meds they had her on and put her on like maybe one or two things for like her blood sugar,
sure,
or something like that. But before you say that, the name of the documentary, which is powerful, is called No Country for Old People. Mm. No Country for Old People. So I'm sorry if you live to be past 50 or 60. You're going to be in there may be a possible issue if you get any older than what you are now. So maybe they should think of a pill for all of us to take to just stay 25 forever, and that's not going to work.
No.
Because even with surgeries and all that, the inside of our bodies are still aging. Okay?
That's right.
The reality is that we are still aging, whether we have surgeries or not inside. It's still aging. Because they lived, and that's wonderful.
Right.
So go ahead.
Everybody deserves to die and leave the world when they decide. It's not up to others. And everyone deserves a quality of life. Everyone deserves to choose that quality of life. That is your God-given right. That is your human right to choose how you want to be treated. And you are not a pauper, and you're not, you know, a low life or a loser because you're on Medicaid. You paid into Medicaid entire life. That money is yours.
That's right.
But what's happened is, and I just want your audience to know, is that this isn't a new problem. This has been going on for 50 years and plus.
But you've been advocating for it for how long? You got involved when your mother got into this situation, and it prompted you to really get into the advocation of it.
I saw things that I could not unsee. Oh. I found out things that I couldn't unlearn. Mm. And most people do want to walk away because it's a hard journey. And at the end, you are depleted. You are playing whack-a-mole till you are on the ground. And when your loved one finally passes, you are like, I don't want to look at that anymore because it's not, it hurts. And you have PTSD. I mean, it's awful. But being a filmmaker and knowing that it, the power of story, and that my mom, I'm going to be damned if she's going to, you know, be treated that way for all that time.
That's right.
For nothing. So her and I went through that journey together, and I need to share it with some amazing, over 70 experts and family members who've also been through the same thing across the country, not just in my area.
I've been through it.
Right?
You know.
Everybody. I mean, there isn't a person
come on
that
now. It's real life.
Right? Doesn't see our trailer or have seen our, you know, a pre-screening of it.
Now, where is the, I want you to say where the documentary show, how everybody can see it, what is about, it's called No Country for Old People, powerful type. Come on now. No Country for Old People. And we all know if we are over 45, 50, how America can be when you get old and people start urging you to get surgeries and all these things.
Well, they're going to also urge you to die when you get into those places because you become
like you're
a
not
burden.
Supposed to live. You're no longer useful.
You are no longer useful or valuable.
Youthful or useful.
Correct. And you're not valuable anymore.
See,
so
and
if
that's
you don't
a lot.
Make money, you're not considered valuable. And so what, you know, hospice has become big business.
Oh, yeah.
It's very big business. My mother was pushed into hospice before she was ready because hospice is covered by Medicare. Medicare pays high rates. My mom, they were paying, you know, it goes up near $1,500 a day. Well, do the math. That's
what?
Over $30,000 a month.
I'm like,
and they don't have to do anything but give them drugs to keep them comfy, whether you need it or not. So it's slow motion euthanasia, as one of my experts calls it.
Girl, that's serious. Now, what are we doing to offset it? What can what can we all do to help support you besides, I mean, other than really coming and watching the documentary, look at the trailer, watch the documentary, support this woman.
Sure.
I mean, come on. This is the kind of filmmaking that is real life filmmaking. This is not going to fade if Disney burns down tomorrow.
Right.
Did you hear what I just said? This is real life here. This is not going to go away if something burns down. All the people's lives that got lost tomorrow, though some of those people could end up in a facility.
Right.
Because maybe they almost died but quite didn't die. So they've got to be taken care of now. So this is, we're talking real life. We're not talking about Hollywood fantasy. So I want you to really out there pay attention. It could happen to anyone. But in particular, and in Susie's case, it happened to her own mother. So go ahead, Susie, tell us.
Okay, I'm going to tell you how you can get involved and what you can do. But first, I want to just throw out one statistic because you were talking about lives lost. And I want to say this really is emblematic of the ageism that we have and the ableism, which is really the culprit. How do these investment companies get away with this? Why is there no oversight? Why is there no accountability? Why is there no transparency?
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because ableism and ageism. People don't care about these people, right? So, and here's a statistic that is mind-blowing. In the first 6 weeks of COVID, over 200,000 nursing home residents died. And not from COVID.
From lack of care.
And how many of those do you think died alone?
Oh, I can't.
Every single one of them. That number is astounding to me when one of my experts told us that. And I was like, it's mind-boggling. It's more than what we lost our
In a war,
right?
Basically.
I mean, if you think about the tragedies that we've had, like 9/11, which is horrendous. But still, how many people did we lose there? Less than 5,000, right? So 200,000 souls that people loved were gone and left with such indignity.
And those are the souls hanging out there in the ethers. The ones that are angry, that are bothering you. Those spirits be flying around your house because they're hanging around because we did them wrong and we didn't do anything. Those people were people. So the essences of those people. It's still fragmented in our environments, and that's what filmmakers and advocates like Susie pick up when they have to do a film. Susie,
yes.
I want to ask you something. Do you think that a possible solution to these sorts of things would be for us to be more holistic and be more proactive in our own health? So that at some stage, should we need assistance, it's assistance and not that we've just, oh, I just start drinking and smoking and doing drugs and all the things that are against human life and my morals alone and all of that. Now my body just, I'm breaking my body down. Or I'm just negative thinking or something. Do you think that a more holistic approach and assistance in that way might help alleviate some of the problem?
I mean, I think yes and no. I mean, I think, yes, you can prolong your life and make it a better quality life, right? But eventually, unless, you know, until we get to the point where we're never going to die, we're going to get vulnerable. We're going to need assistance. It's just a fact. It doesn't matter. The most healthy elderly, right, who live... You know, look at Norman Lear. He lived past 100.
I love Norman Lear.
Right? I mean, what an incredibly inspirational human being, or Dick Van Dyke. But they will get slow, and they are going to need help, and that's okay. We help our babies walk. We help our babies talk, and we fed our babies. That's what we do with our
That's
elders.
The ancestors. Those are the ancestors.
That's right.
They have to be. Ooh, we should have
There's
some.
Nothing more
just
beautiful.
Bow down. It's nothing. When I found out that Dick Van Dyke's neighbor carried him out because he's 99, and I guess he could have moved. I mean, come on, whoever you are, 20-fold blessings coming
That's
to you,
right.
man. Fortune that you can't even imagine. So if you lost a house, you get three or four of them in return
right.
for doing a kind-hearted act like
and
that.
And by the way, it's more of a gift to yourself.
Oh.
There's nothing more beautiful than shepherding somebody in their last hour. Oh. I mean, I get chills thinking about it. And
too.
I never wanted my mommy to die. I loved her dearly, and I miss her, and she was my best friend, one of my favorite people in the world.
Well, she did a good job.
A pistol,
good
right?
job.
And I had to go with the flow like she went with me, right? And I had to make it as good as I could with what we were up against. So how do we fix it? You know, there's a very powerful lobby. Whenever there's a lot of money, you're going to find a lobby.
Okay.
And there is a nursing home lobby that is very, very hell-bent on keeping everything status quo because it's very lucrative. I'm talking in the billions and trillions of dollars.
Okay, for those of us who don't know what a lobby is, political, mm-hmm. we not have a political mind
okay.
or whatever, explain that really quick.
So there's lobbyists. There's these groups of people that have lobbied together. They have it in the pharmaceuticals. They have it anywhere there is a industrial complex, right? You know, if there's the healthcare industrial complex, which mm-hmm. is, you know, these are businesses and they're owned by billionaires and they're run by billionaires. You've got the NRA has a lobby, right? And so they're lobbying for, they're rallying, they're cheerleading, they're working to keep the rich rich. And they don't want to change regulations. They work against that. They don't want to change anything. They want it status quo and they want to make as much money as they can. And so,
now, who are they?
This lobby. And so, for instance, there's, you know, the American Health Association,
uh-huh.
which is really just, and it's called the Nursing Home Lobby. You would think they're lobbying for the nursing home. No, they're uh-huh. lobbying for the nursing home owners. Mark Parkinson,
oh.
like Mark Parkinson, who is the president at the moment, I believe he's stepping down. But he's in our documentary. We really pull a curtain back on him when Biden had the Build Back Better bill, which was for exactly what we're
did
talking
Biden
about.
Did Biden actually help? Did
he
I
tried.
Mean, be honest. What
he
happened?
Tried. What happened was the lobby went, we showed in the documentary, Mark Parkinson says, well, it's all good to have this Build Back Better bill, but we don't have the funding to do it. Meantime, there's billions of dollars.
Yeah, where's the funding going,
well,
man?
Because the funding's not going to them. They keep crying poor. This is it is, as one of my experts say, this is nothing. It's not anything different than organized crime. The way it's set up.
Oh, baby!
There is
you
money
the
laundering.
Notes.
Yes, there is the whole spiel.
Yes,
I keep saying, do I need a bodyguard? That's what I need to know because I'm telling the truth.
And you know what? And everybody out there, I would rather, and I say this all the time. We'll let Susie talk some more. I'd rather slide through hell, no, walk through hell, with gasoline drawers on, than to mess with the law of cause and effect. So whoever's out there caught yourself doing wrong and because nobody's caught you or you think mm-hmm. you don't have a heart for humanity, you're going down. You're going down. I'm sorry. I may not other people may be scared to say it. I'm telling you, because I've lived long enough to see people's karma come back on them from doing that. And then you yourself have to end up in some facility. And then you get to feel how it feels to be sitting around doing people wrong and taking money that doesn't belong to you. Right, Susie?
Totally. I mean,
you speak the truth. You tell the truth.
I do. And I am Pollyanna. What I never wanted to think like this. This isn't me. I'm not like a conspiracy theorist. I mean, I did my homework and I learned from people. I did a fast track, you know, education on this because I wanted to know what the hell was really going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the lobby has, as all lobbies do, they fund campaigns for our politicians. You want to know why traditional advocacy, which means writing to your congresspeople, writing to your governor, writing to, you know,
okay.
whatever, those don't work because you've got lobbyists that have embedded themselves in our legislation. So they're answering to these bills, these new bills or these new, you know, changes that people are asking for, regulation changes, such as minimum staffing, They don't have enough staff.
I know.
And that's the way they make more money because they understaff.
And so what's going to happen in 2025? I'm sorry, you guys.
From
I went to my dog park. And so the dust from the
It's
so dusty outside and the winds were high. But anyway. Do you think that with President Trump coming in, what do you think, is there any possibility that some of these things could come about in, I mean, I hate to say this, we're in 2025, but it still feels like 1925 or 1825 in some cases is that far behind.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that AI or technology or anything might help offset some of the issues?
You know, listen, all that stuff, all of, you know, science that could help, the AI and things like that, there are a lot of different programs that are out there that could definitely help. Will they be funded specifically for this issue? I don't know.
What do you see coming? You're involved. What do
I
you
don't,
see?
No, honestly, like from the best minds, nobody knows what's going to happen because, you know, I can surmise all day long. I'm not... You know, I don't want to get political about that, but I don't feel comfortable with the new regime that's coming in because it feels to me that their priorities are for the rich. And if that's the case and they deregulate everything, think about, we've already deregulated the nursing home industry, the long-term care industry, even our hospital and medical industry, is under the same issues. So why should we expect it to get better? I'm scared it's going to get worse. I'm just scared that I may not be able to rally for change as a citizen, right? So... But we have to. That's where the power lies. You know, we had MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. We had, you know, we have to take it to the streets. We have to because it's the only way. That's the only way we can compete with big money, which is lobby, is with our voices and as constituents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the politicians rely on money and they rely on their constituency. And if the constituency... is pulling the curtain back and saying, we know what you're doing, shame them, shame Governor Newsom, tell him that we know he's taking money from the most notorious, and tell him, we don't want to put up with it anymore and we're not going to vote for you. You need to change the ways and you need to address this now because people are suffering. It's not that they're dying because they're old. They're suffering. I mean, suffering. And what's happening is they're being warehoused. It's human warehousing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exaggerating. Please, please, I'm telling you.
I wanted you on because, you know, things are going to get real around here. After a while, you guys know with the changes that are coming, and I'm talking about future stuff too. I'm not just talking about right now as we change presidencies and all that. I'm always of the mindset that whatever happens is life. Those things are catapults for whatever needs to happen to happen. So sometimes things are done in a certain way for us to learn a lesson so that we don't do the same.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do the same thing over and over again, which we seem to be kind of like stuck in some ways in timelines that we cannot seem to get past certain things in the country and in the world. So, Susie, when you did they know you were filming? How did you get this footage? How did you go in there and get the information secretly, or however you had to do it?
I always was videotaping my mother, because just for our own family. And it was just what we do. It's like, you know, I'm a filmmaker. So it's like my best friend, my partner, Don Priest, who's also my co-producer on this project, he would come and visit with my mom all the time, and he'd take video and I'd take video. And then, so I had a lot of video where, and I'm very vocal, and I would say things like, is this normal? Da, da, da. And we talk about things, like, right? And then when things started to really hit the fan, and we were not allowed, this was during COVID, right? 2022. And I have a podcast too called Love Conquers Alls, ALZ.
Okay.
And that's about Alzheimer's, and it's just a...
And where is that podcast?
It's everywhere. You can find it anywhere.
And what's it called again?
Love Conquers Alls.
Love Conquers Alls. ALZ, like Alzheimer's.
Correct.
Okay.
And it comes off of my film, My Mom and the Girl, which was about a joyous look at Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to keep that conversation going. And I had on a gentleman named Rick Mountcastle, who is the federal prosecutor, who was portrayed in Hulu's miniseries called Dope Sick, and that's with Michael Keaton, and Peter Sarsgaard plays him. He was the head prosecutor who went up against Purdue Pharma, the Sackler family, for the marketing of OxyContin and really causing the crisis. And at the end of that miniseries, I should say, the final episode, his partner comes in and says, "Well, I've got our next case, and it is another pharmaceutical. Go figure. It's Abbott Labs, who are off marketing Depakote, a drug made for epilepsy,
to
nursing homes." And my mother was a victim of Depakote. I didn't even know she was on it until her regular doctor said, "I thought my mom's Alzheimer's was
and who agreed to put her on it?
Oh, well, the facilities do, because it makes it easier on them.
Without talking to the family or the nobody?
Nobody.
See, no one should have that much control.
So, yeah, right. Rick took Abbott Labs to task. It was a $1.5 billion judgment. They're still in business. He also told me on my show that he had federally prosecuted nursing homes for fraud, financial fraud, neglect and abuse for over two decades, and never saw any change. And he said, "I'm retiring." This is 2022. And he said, "If you do a documentary on this, which you should, I'm throwing my hat in the ring. I'm tired of this."
Everybody should be tired.
And he told me, he was the first one to tell me, that it wasn't just my mother. I was dealing with a systemic crisis.
Yeah.
And that the standard of care that my mom was getting is the national standard of care.
Oh, please don't.
And so I was just blown away. And that was when he said to me, "Start videoing more. Start shooting more, as much as you can."
Had you ever done any film? By the way, this film, No Country for Old People, it is an Oscar-acclaimed film. It's Oscar-worthy. You know, no, it's not about the latest who screwed who or whatever's going on. You know, just like, oh, my gosh, it's so like, by now it's just so rhetorical. But anyway, it is about real life that we all can witness and we all can attest to, because everyone has either been old, gone. If you can talk from the other side, I'm being facetious. Also, you know, or you yourselves have been in a facility or know someone, family, friends, loved ones in these kind of situations. So this is real life stuff here. This is not going to go away. It's not something that AI or anybody can predict. It will happen eventually, Susie said.
We have to change it. You know, we are mobilizing a movement.
How big are we now? How big are those who want this to change?
Well, I think I think everybody.
It's global.
It's global, because I belong to coalitions in Australia, all around the world. It's not unique to our country. Let's put it that way. Where there's money to be made, you're going to have, you know, shenanigans, you know, to put it lightly. So, in this documentary, I'm focused on America and our system, because that's the only thing we can address. Yes. Everybody's system is a little different. So when I realized that, you know, we raised all the money ourselves, by the way, for this project, because when you go out for a documentary.
How did you raise it?
Well, documentaries don't make money for the most part.
Right.
They do not make money. So, you know, and then when you have take a you know, documentary that is not pleasant to talk about, it's not, you know, it's not something that people want to face, it's very difficult to raise the money. So we wrote to grants to try to get grants. And then I started realizing, which Rick taught me, which is called follow the money. We got turned down by so many who said at first they were very interested. And then we'd get a letter saying we have a conflict of an interest, conflict of interest. So it's called follow the money. Who's part of this? These people, right? Who's part of this lobby? Who's part of who owns nursing homes? So we went out to the public. We did a grassroots raise, right? Yeah. So we did, and we got involved with National Consumer Voice for Quality Long-Term Care, which is a nonprofit, which is one of the leading advocacy groups, national advocacy groups in Washington, who became our fiscal sponsor so we could offer people a tax deduction when they donate.
That helps, yes.
And we're still raising money, so if you want to help, please do.
Where do they go to help donate?
To the National Consumer Voice. It's national. You'll find it online. It's very easy.
National Consumer Voice.
And they'll be, we're on the front
.com,
page.
.org?
.org.
Okay.
And you will find us on their page, on the front page. It's, and you can pay any way you want. And it, everything goes to a bit, goes to their nonprofit. And then the rest goes to our filmmaking for our advocacy, everything. It, you know, none of it goes into our pockets. This has all been sweat equity for us because it's that important.
Important than anything else I've been hearing about, other than the weather and things that can harm lives. You know?
Yep. And the movement. Wait, I'm going to take a sip of water because it is dry from the weather.
Go right now. Go. I have water. I just almost forget to drink. I mean, I've got to get better at drinking water. But
yeah,
go ahead.
It's a must. Yes. Our movement is called ROAR. And it stands...
R-O-A-R. What does that
Yeah,
stand for?
R-O-A-R. So,
ROAR.
Exactly. ROAR.
Like a lion.
It stands for respect. It stands for oversight, advocacy, and reform. So we are asking people to roar with us, become a roarier.
A roarier. Instead of a warrior, a roarier.
Because like Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, like, you know, like the Me Too movement,
yeah.
We have to be loud. And we have
and
to
proud.
Talk and proud and
loud
talk
and
about
proud
it.
To talk about these kind of things. They aren't dark discussions anymore. They're real life things.
Right. So go to NoCountryForOldPeople.com.
Yes.
You can go to the movement page. You can sign up to be a part of it. We're going to have different boards in every city that we can. We want them everywhere so that, you know, no one is left to die the way most of our elders are left to
That's
die.
That's a cool idea. As a matter of fact, Netflix, Hulu, all you guys, you should do a show. I'm giving you an idea. Do a show called No Country for Old People. And you have people on here on the show like Susie and other people that are out here advocating for those things. Since you, those people at Netflix and these stations, will somehow, if you're human, you're going to be old one day and someone may need to advocate for you as mm-hmm. well. So, Susie, where are we now? Or do we have a second part to the documentary coming out?
Well, the documentary is... You're on the cusp because we just delivered it to our distributor who is shopping it to the streamers, to Netflix, to Hulu. And we're just finishing a short run this week in theaters for a special pre-screening. It is a 3-part documentary.
Okay.
And it's 3 hours in total.
Oh, okay.
We were going to make a film. We were going to have it as a film, but there was just too much to share for people to really wrap their head around it. And I wanted to answer these 4 questions, you know, very thoroughly so people understood what happens, how does it happen,
yeah,
why does it happen, and then how do we fix
how
it?
How do we fix it?
So, and in order to do that, I needed to take the time. I needed to lay out what happens, right? I needed mm-hmm. to, and I wanted to show the dirty little secrets and really get people to understand how prevalent it is, that these places that neglect and abuse are not the outliers. They are the standard norm. If your loved one is in a good place, that is amazing. And they are the outliers. And the truth is that the people that work at these places are as much a victim as the residents because their business model is to keep them understaffed, Can you imagine trying to take care of 30 residents by yourself? If there's only four CNAs and one registered nurse, and they're having to take care of over 120 residents.
And this is why we need AI. This is a perfect right? situation for AI. The robots, like they did on iRobot, where they are set up in different places to help the human citizens do what they got to do. Dick Van Dyke, if an AI had been in place, they could have run him up that hill. They wouldn't have to worry about getting killed, smoked, inhaled. I mean, come on, think. We're right. thinking here. We got to think about the future. We can't right. keep being stuck in the past somewhere, you know.
Right.
But that's where things like AI and artificial intelligence would really help.
It would.
They could replace, you know, get a team. Come on, Elon Musk and you guys, you say you're for everybody. Be for everybody, not just for yourself. One day you're going to be old.
Yeah,
you know,
but
and
he's in the 1%.
It doesn't matter. It's you're still going to be old, and the same people that might be helping you now might not be around when you get old. They may not be around. It may be a whole group of people that you may not never heard of. So just because things are promised to mm-hmm. us now doesn't mean that those things are going to be like that in the future.
And the truth is, the geriatric community, geriatricians in particular, have left that field because it's not profitable, it's not respected, it's too hard. The nurses have left this field. The CNAs are going away. I've interviewed so many, and you'll see that it is so heartbreaking because they can't do the job they want to do. And what they experience is called moral injury. So they go home at night and they can't rest because their hearts hurt, because they know that these people that they've come to love are not being cared for, and they can't do enough, and they're overworked and underpaid and disrespected. So you, when you go in and you say, "Well, they weren't doing their job," and da 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 da, it's true. They probably weren't, but they probably couldn't.
Yeah, a lot of times their hands are tight. You're trying to be human, and then the system is saying, "Hey, you know, so,
bottom line, because these people are become widgets."
Oh my gosh, this is so deep. I'm going to have you back on.
Okay.
This is too deep. I love deep. I like getting deep. Let's get deep into life here, people. Let's not leave it shallow. Everything's And I love that, too. I love being happy and smiling and all of that stuff and making fun and laughter. But at the same time, the reality that when we wake up one day, we could be one of these people. Like, I met William Carrillo of this Hyundai place was telling me that some kind of way he ended up completely blind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm using that to say that anything at any time could happen. My mother used to say, nothing is promised to us.
That's right.
We don't know what might happen. You could step outside the door and your whole body go down and you like, what just happened? I was healthy five minutes ago.
By the grace of God.
Yeah. So we cannot take anything, not even a single moment for granted. Even when I was younger, I took nothing for granted. Didn't do it because I saw everybody around me. I'm like, look, I don't know what they're doing, but I don't want to do
it. Right.
I don't know what they're eating, but I don't want to eat it if that's where it leads. You know, uh-huh. I'm like, no, thank you.
Uh-huh.
But so, Susie, give us a rundown of where we can find more about you, the documentary and everything.
It's at nocountryforoldpeople.com. Yes. You can find out everything there. You can watch our trailers. Mm-hmm. We have short and medium, and even we have a 25-minute trailer that it will really blow your mind. Mm-hmm. It'll give you a sense of what you will see in the full documentary series. And it's not for the faint at heart, but come on, guys, let's put on our big girl pants.
But it's for the real.
We'll put on our big girl pants like I did. Yeah. And like, even though I don't want to, I just made him cute, okay?
Uh-huh.
We put him on and
make She's adorable,
cute.
By the way.
And then you do it. And I'm telling you, when we take care of the people that we love the most and the most vulnerable, there's nothing better. There's nothing better. Like it is a gift to yourself.
Yeah.
And if you want to feel good on yourself, forget it. Let's talk. You want to talk superficial?
Yeah.
Go into visit people at a nursing home. You're never going to be looking younger, more beautiful, more appealing. I walk in and they're like, wait, is that your grandmother? No, that's my mom. Those are your children? Yes. What? How old are you? And I go, how old do you think? I don't know. 21? I'm like, yes, exactly.
Oh, my God.
You know, you feel good. You feel good.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. So, again, No Country for Old People, this remarkable Oscar-acclaimed filmmaker advocate for this thing. what we call, you know, our senior citizens and people that should be better taken care of. Miss Susie Singer Carter. I love her. And by the way, I wanted to mention Sheila McKind. Is that her name? She was the executive director that helped you along with that.
Well, she did a review.
Is that her name, McKind?
Yeah, I was trying to remember. I think it was Malkind.
Yeah, Malkind. Yes.
That's right.
Her, I wanted to just shout out to you for being so supportive of Susie and her plight to bring these things, make them more transparent so we all can try to do something about them. Don't forget about me. Osiris Mounir, Osiris_Mounir_, the painter on IG, expressandabstract.net, my site, and our sponsor, Kevin Pike, Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist for Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. It's been real, and don't forget, I've got something to tell you. Don't forget, just as flowers open up and bear fruit, just as the moon appears and invariably grows full, just as a plant becomes, just as a lamp becomes brighter when oil is added, and just as plants and trees flourish with rain, so will human beings never fail to prosper. When you make good causes, it's been real. Don't forget to smile. It works wonders. See you later. Bye-bye. Bye. Happy New Year. Bye.
Thank you.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Mounir, only